Now it's on. I flipped the one switch, but not well enough. Hello. I'm back again, for those of you who've heard me before and for those of you who haven't, surprise. My name is Dave Embry. I'm a campus minister in Springfield, work with Christian Campus House, and have for, well, a few decades. And as noted in the prayer, I'll acknowledge this, that my dad passed away on Wednesday. We had his funeral yesterday. It has been a bit of a whirlwind week. Just oddly enough, you know, as these things happen, on Tuesday night, my mom had stayed at the skilled care center where my dad was while one of my brothers had come down to visit and his wife, and my wife had taken them out to eat. And my mom called and said, hey, the charge nurse here wants to talk to all of us. And so somebody else was speaking at our Tuesday night Bible study, and so we went out there, and the nurse says, your dad's not getting any better, his congestive heart failure is substantially worse, we think you ought to call hospice in. And I said, whoa, you mean like he's on his way out? And she says, no, hospice isn't just for those who are, you know, about to die. They provide extra services, extra care, and if you'd like, I can contact them. And I said, I looked at my mom and said, what do you think? She said, yeah, it's fine. I said, okay, go ahead and contact them. 7:15 on Wednesday morning, I got a call from hospice saying, we understand your dad could use some extra help, and can we get together today? I said, sure. And so at 11, we met up with hospice, and they were very, very good people. Yikes. They offer a lot of services. I have higher regard for hospice than I ever have. We had about a two-hour meeting. I signed another dozen papers. I went back to the university to do some orientation stuff for incoming students and their parents. And eventually, my wife took my mom home. And about the time I was through orienting, my phone buzzed. And it was Glendale Gardens saying, we're sorry to tell you, your dad has passed away. What are you talking about? We were just there. We just got a hospice care set up, and basically he went to sleep and just kind of kept going the other direction. And my dad was a pastor for 65 years or more, depending on how you count it, and he's now experiencing everything he preached about. And his service yesterday was a celebration. So when John contacted me and said, hey, we heard your dad died, do you want to do this? And I knew that once my dad died, it would be the kind of week it was, just hubbub and family and making arrangements and taking care of this and that. And the idea of riding an hour down the road on my motorcycle and getting to share the gospel and then riding another hour back with no meetings or anything just sounded really, really good. So I'm here. You all are part of my therapy, so thank you very much. We've been teaching through James this summer at Campus House, and so you're getting another James teaching this morning. But weirdly enough, my opening illustration comes not from the death of my own father, but the death of my wife's father. Much more tragic than my dad's death. He was a farmer, and farming is a very, very dangerous occupation, and he died as the result of injuries suffered in a equipment-related accident. And it's pretty gruesome sort of thing, so I won't tell you all that. But it happened, he died on the Wednesday night prior to Easter. And we had known he'd been injured in this accident, hopped in the car. She's from northern Indiana. We made it as far as St. Louis when we got the call saying he's gone. And we continued on, of course, and Joyce's brothers were very much of the opinion we need to have the service very soon and so on. And so we wound up doing the service on the day before Easter. Both my daughters were able to come from southwest Missouri up to northern Indiana, and Her mom had died of cancer, 3 years prior to that, 3 or 4. And so we buried him beside her in this little country cemetery. It was a very, very emotional day. In many ways, it was a harder day than yesterday was, just because of all the circumstances. So on Easter morning, we're heading back to Springfield, and or well, yeah, Springfield, and we're kind of caravanning. So we stop in St. Louis for lunch. And we look just bedraggled. You know, we've been through all this emotional stuff. We've just put on grungies. And we're sitting in this restaurant and kind of talking through what had happened the day before. And all these people start coming in really dressed up. And at first, it's sort of like, wow, you know, there's a lot of church people who come to this restaurant. And soon it was sort of like everybody in there was dressed up. And then it really dawned on us, it's Easter. It's the day more people go to church than any other day of the year. And they're all here. Now, here's the point of the story. My daughter, Christina, says, we'd be dressed up too if Grandpa hadn't died. And she starts kind of looking around and saying, don't judge us, people. Don't judge us. We are Christians. We love Jesus. But our grandpa just died. And it's like, Christina, it's okay. It doesn't matter what they think. She's like, but some of those people are probably thinking, well, those people over there all scrounging on Easter. And it's like, no, it's okay. It's probably the time in my daughter's life where she felt the most judged. Even though I don't think anybody was probably judging her at all. Judging. What a concept. In some ways, that's the accusation that trumps almost all others. You're judging me. And that's supposed to immediately shut you down, you know, slap your mouth and destroy your credibility. I am pretty convinced from all my years on campus that the one scripture every student thinks they know is, don't judge man. Don't judge man. There was a time in the history of Campus House when we actually came up with a character called Don't Judge Man, and it was a guy with a cape. And whenever we were doing a Bible study that had something to do with inappropriate behavior or whatever, this guy would come running through the door saying, don't judge, man! And so we had to talk about this whole idea of what is judging and what is not judging. So in James chapter 4, we're going to begin just by looking at two verses, James 4, 11 and 12. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you're not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who's able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Whoa, that's pretty strong. That's pretty harsh. And James, don't forget, brother of Jesus, who didn't really get Jesus himself until after the resurrection, but after the resurrection became the, hey, don't get my brother wrong, you listen to what he has to say. Guy, he is echoing the words of Jesus, who of course in Matthew 7 said, old King James, judge not, lest ye be judged, you know, for in the same way you judge, it will be measured out to you and all this. And then it goes on to talk about who are you to look at the speck in your brother's eye. You've got a log sticking out of your own. First, get the log out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Don't judge, man. So what does that mean? We talked about this a few weeks ago. And this was a little bit ironic, I think. Most of our students don't watch network TV at all. It's only Netflix and Prime and I don't even know what all the delivery says, Hulu and so on. And I honestly watch very little TV. I'm busy. TV is just extraneous to me. But I have occasionally, when waiting someplace, seen bits and pieces of the show Judge Judy. And so I asked, how many of you like Judge Judy? And almost every hand in the room shot up. We had 30 people there, and they're like, oh, we love Judge Judy. It's like, why do you love Judge Judy? And I said, oh, she tells it like it is. She lays it down there. It's like, do you like being judged? Nope. Why do you like Judge Judy? Well, she tells other people, you know, what's up. I think that betrays something about all of us. we don't want anybody pointing out anything about us, but we love to see other people get it, right? You know, we don't mind at all to see somebody else slap down. But don't tell me anything I'm doing is wrong. I thought about this a lot, prayed about this a lot, talked to the other students and so on. What is it that
Our invitation song is Holy Spirit. We know the Holy Spirit is here. We just ask that he remain with each and every one of us as we go our ways today and this week.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living home. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living home. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood
I do have one announcement to make. On August 3rd, there will be a service for Esther at 9 o'clock in the morning at our Mansfield Cemetery. It's over Lot 14, which is her mother's plot, and she will be sprinkled over that area. Following, we will have coffee and some kind of a refreshment here for those people that would like to come by. We just ask that if you know of anyone that is not here today, please let them know that that will be happening at 9 o'clock. That's a Saturday morning, August 3rd, for Esther. Thank you. And are there any prayer requests? We do have a praise that Lena is back with us. We're very pleased that that happened, that it worked out as well as it did. And Wanda? Oh, good. That's wonderful. Gary Hanger's procedure went really, really well. We're very pleased to hear that. Praying for our country as always, and all of us here. We, each and every one of us, have our own prayer requests, and we know that they are being remembered. Also, our prayer list on the back of our program is something that you can go by for people that are in need. They're on there for a reason. So just remember those people too. Any others? And the search for a preacher also, please. Don't leave that out. It's very important. We'll have God lead us, and God will bring us someone. We know that. It's just that we need to support him with our prayers so that he knows. Any others? And a closing prayer? Joe. Please stand.
Our Father who art in heaven, we come to you this day giving you praise and glory for all that is and all that ever will be. For your Son Jesus who gave his life for us. For the lesson today with Dave, very good lesson. I pray that everyone will take this into their hearts. Father, as we leave this place, Father, here and go home to our homes, keep us safe and well. May we always be true unto you and to our Lord and Savior Jesus. For those who have lost loved ones, Emory family, Pickle, Dog Pickle, wife and their families, Father, we pray that you'll comfort them in ways that only you can. Be with us now, Father, as we go and leave. May we always take you with us. May you always be with us in everything that we do. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
And you are all excused. Stay cool, people. Be cool.